Last week, we started a series on relationships that honor God, right? We got smiles all as soon as we talk about relationships. Everyone's like, relationships. I like this already. Because something about relationships and the word sex makes teenagers smile, right? Ah, see, we got laughs. It is. That's a funny word. There's lots of funny words. Let's not go into that. Okay. So we are doing the next 7 weeks. We're covering relationships that honor God. We're going to talk about lots of things. Just a little review from last week, because last week we kind of set it up. It was the introductory talk about this whole deal. Last week we talked about sex being, it's not gross, it's not God, it's a gift. That's our take, and that I really think that's what comes out of the Bible. So for some of you, you may have grown up in some really religious type teaching that basically sex was painted as this horrible thing. It's always presented in the negative. It's like all these, and you just kind of go like, huh. Either somebody's trying to hide something, they don't really have any fun, or, you know, this sucks. Okay, so it's presented this way. Last week we talked about it could be that you feel that way because of some of your history, where there might have been some abuse and some horrible things that have happened to you. We talked really briefly about that there is healing through Jesus in that kind of situation, and we can help you walk through that. Jesus is the one who helps us, and he's our healer, and we believe that like full tilt. So. We talked about briefly about sex as a God. Now I'm gonna talk about the next 3 weeks. We're really gonna kind of dig into this whole idea of sex as a God, because sex is one of the main gods of our culture. We talked about last week. It's on TV. It's in movies. It's in songs. It's in advertisements. When people, you know, have you ever got to the? You've been watching TV, and a commercial comes, and you get to the end of the commercial, and you're kind of like, what were they trying to sell? I don't remember. But there are some really hot girls on it. Or you don't even remember what they're trying to sell you, because they're using sex to try to sell their product. And I guess probably the one that jumps to my mind the most is Axe. We got all these young guys, they love Axe products. And it's all due to marketing. It's because they've marketed sex. It makes you, when you see that ad, that's what you want. It appeals to this carnal desire in us. And so we want that. We want to be like that. We want girls to look at, for guys, we want girls to look at us that way. We want that to happen to us. And you can, you know, you might be a little bit embarrassed about it. You might be sitting here like this, but it's true. And you'll think that way your whole life. So don't think it's just because you're a teenager. And so they use sex to market products like Axe. So you have like, seriously, in a couple of years, the market swung from like, some of the other deodorants, Gillette, the best a man can get, you know, to Axe products for teenagers. They totally marketed toward teenagers. And just the explosion of that market for them was incredible. And they used sex to do it. And so we're just kind of the patsies. And it's funny because it's a bunch of old fat guys in suits sitting around a table and trying to figure out, okay, how can we get money from these kids? Well, let's dupe them into thinking that this product will make them like this. So the reason I use that illustration is because we're going to be talking a lot about truth and lies today. And you'll notice this theme. We've been talking about truth and lies a lot to start off this year. This is going to continue throughout the rest of the year. It's kind of the theme. And it's funny because we started it and I was trying to figure out, okay, I'm asking God, what's our theme for this year? Like, what do you want us to pursue? Is there something? And our first few talks were about truth. And I realized that, oh, this is a big deal. Because one of the passions in my heart is for teenagers to see truth and not to buy into the lies. Because our culture is really good at deceiving teenagers. And this, I got all these statistics. And it's amazing. I these articles about marketing to teenagers and how the shift from marketing to adults, because they realized that if they marketed to teenagers, teenagers had access to the adults' money, and it was actually more lucrative for them to market to the teenagers so the teenagers could get their adults' money, because they were having trouble getting your parents' money. You guys follow that? It's this whole shift in our culture in the last 20 years that a lot of the marketing is now to teenagers. And we're just like I'm thinking, I got little kids, and I'm just like, oh, man. I'm already seeing like the marketing, and they even have advertisements in some of the kids, like the retro tunes and stuff like that. They like all the old cartoons. But there's just like constant advertising, and I'm like, oh. And they want whatever's on there. Like, my daughter last year was like, hey, Daddy, because I was talking about my hair is kind of getting a little bit thin, and she's like, I know what you need, Daddy. And it was some kind of herbal something. Herbal essence or something. If she saw in a commercial, that'll help you, and it'll make it all better. It was just like, I'm like, oh man, she's like, last year she was six, and it was like, she's already thinking, like the TV is already completely influenced, advertising has influenced the way she thinks, and what she thinks we need is actually the products that they're pushing at us. And so I think it's really important for us to be able to see truth, because I don't know what about you guys, but That's you know, seriously, this is one of the themes of my life, because I bought into some lies for about 4 years, well, longer than that, but especially a four-year period in my life where I kind of pushed away all the stuff that we're going to be talking about today. I pushed away the truth and said, I don't buy it. You know, whatever, I've heard this my whole life, but is the world really that bad? I mean, is sin really that bad? I mean, come on, God will forgive me in the end anyway, won't he? And I seriously walked a path with that attitude for 4 years, and it just about destroyed me. So that's why truth is such a huge passion for me. I want to discover truth. I don't want to be duped. I don't want to fall into some trap, somebody's lies that they're just trying to push at me. That's made me, I guess on the flip side, I'm quite critical and quite, like, on the, you know, critical of everything. I'm like, you know, that's maybe the drawback. But I'd rather be there than just duped by every little, you know, teaching or somebody's ideas on this or that. And you can just sway and go around. And there's lots of people like that, and it bugs me, because they fall into every little trap. And I'm just like, oh, I don't want to fall into the traps. I don't want to believe the lies. Are you guys with me? Do you want to believe? Do you want to find truth? I do. Really do. So today, we're talking about relationships that honor God. I want you guys to open your minds, your hearts. I know that you've, just like the Axe commercial, you know, it's easily duped an entire generation of boys. I want us to think bigger scale than that. Because this is the same tactic that the enemy uses against us. Because we talked about this in the opening talk. His main weapon against us is deceit. He wants you to believe the lies. So when you're reacting to some of the things that we're going to be saying over the next 7 weeks, I want you to stop and think, why am I reacting like that? If this is what God has laid out, and we know that God's word is true, we know that what Jesus said is true, Jesus said Jesus is the truth, why am I reacting and pushing back against this? Okay? I want that thought in your mind. So sex is not God. It may be the God of our culture, but it's not our God. We want Jesus to be our God. And this is difficult. So we're gonna really unpack this in the next 3 weeks. So this series is asking and answering a few questions. And we talked about them last week a little bit. I didn't answer any of them last week. That means you have to come back. Which obviously didn't work, because we have like at least 15 less people this week than last week. It's like, ah. But should I do it again? Yeah. But we will answer one of them today anyway, at least. So this series is about answering questions. What does God say about sex and relationships, and why does he say it? That's what's driving this whole thing. What does God say? What is the truth about this whole idea, and why did he say it? Let's delve into it deeper. Let's figure this out. So here's some questions that I talked about last week. Why did God give us desires that can't be fulfilled until we're married? What difference will it make if I sleep around before I'm married, as long as I stay faithful to my spouse? I've heard all these questions, thought them too. As a teenager and as a single guy. I didn't get married till I was 29, so. Do you sometimes think, I know it's amazing, I'm older than 29. It used to be easier when I had hair. Do you sometimes think that God is just a killjoy, that he's just trying to wreck our fun? That he's almost like a bully with a magnifying glass and an ant, and he's just like, burning the ant. It's like, he's mean. So he puts all these beautiful things in front of us, and we're like, wow, this is awesome. And he goes, whoop, I can't have it. You know, it's like it's real. It's like the older brother or sister, right? Some of you guys have older brothers and sisters who have done that, right? Yeah, we got lots. Yeah, for sure. Okay, so finally, a reminder from last week. We talked about God's design. God created sex. Okay, it wasn't an afterthought. It didn't happen after Adam and Eve sinned. God created it. It was part of his plan to begin with. He said, before Adam and Eve sinned, he said, go and multiply. Now, it's really difficult, okay, if there's no sex, okay? That's what we talked about. This is, and when God created everything, it said it was good. In fact, at the end of the creation story, it says, and it was very good. So that's why we believe that sex is a gift. All right. So, we got a couple passages. If everybody got your Bibles? Did you get Bibles? Just so you know, when we walk in, there's a bunch of Bibles at the back. You can just grab one and take it with you. So we're going to be starting on page 644. It's John chapter 8. We're going to read a little bit. So just put your finger in there. I want to talk about one more thing before we hit the scripture. Part of how we were designed, one of the gifts that God has given us, is pleasure. Right? It's a cool word. I like to say it. Pleasure. Yeah? Pleasure. He's wired us in such ways that we receive pleasure from all sorts of things. Some of us we love sports. We love watching sports. We love playing sports. We love talking about sports. It's mostly boys. We love everything about sports. We love our idols, our sports figures, the people we look to, our sports people. You know, we try to act like jocks. We model our lives after these guys. Some of us, it's shopping. We just love shopping. We receive pleasure from shopping. It's like, it's awesome. It's like the best thing in the world. And it's just like, or it could be like shoes or something. It's like, oh, I love shoes. I just want shoes. It's so pleasurable to like buy shoes. Look at this new pair of shoes I have. For some of us, it's things like recreation or motorbiking or you can just go on and on. God has given us this incredible gift that we can actually feel pleasure from doing these incredible things, these gifts that God has given us. And it's awesome. Aren't you glad that God gave us this gift? I mean, pleasure is awesome, is it not? Yeah. Ah, awesome. Me too. I think it's very cool. And it's one of the... Remember we talked about being created in the image of God? Well, it's one of those aspects where God is actually able to feel pleasure. And we actually received the gift of pleasure from him. It's part of the image that he's given us. His pleasure is a gift from God. Now, any gift that we get from God, and we're going to talk about this next week, actually, so I won't get too far into it. Any gift that we get from God, we can use in a couple of different ways. One, we can get the gift and use it in a way that glorifies God, and we use it, he designed it, remember, and we use it in a way that benefits us and glorifies him. The other way is that we take the gift and we decide that, well, I like this gift, and I don't really care about what God said and how I should use it. I'm just gonna go and use it however I want. So there's all sorts of gifts that God has given us. They can be used for good or evil. The gift in and of itself isn't evil or good. See, like sex, right? It's something. It's a gift. We can use it for good and glorify God, or evil. We can pervert it. We can destroy ourselves by disobeying God. So this is very cool. Like, this is one of the gifts that God given us, that pleasure. Now, actually, I'm gonna wait. We're gonna talk about this in a second. Since the beginning of creation, the enemy has been looking to destroy what God builds. Okay, this is his deal. And one of the things you need to understand is the enemy doesn't care about you. Satan doesn't care less about you. One of the reasons why when we buy into sin and when we get tangled up in things we shouldn't, that we feel valueless and worthless, is because Satan has no value. You have no value to him at all. What Satan wants to do is hurt God. He wants to destroy God's creation because he hates God. He doesn't care about you. It doesn't give him pleasure because, yeah, I dragged her down because somehow he values you. He doesn't. He wants to hurt God. So I want you to view sin like this. Any of you guys like to fish? Yeah? Fisher people? All right, I love fishing, okay? And one of the things that the trout in Cold Lake like to bite is those little, what are they called, herrings or anchovies or whatever they're called. But you put bait on your hook. Now here's the deal. If I was just to throw some hooks out into the lake here and go trolling around, do you think I'd catch anything? It's just the hook, just the little hook. Nothing, right? Fish are stupid, but they're not that stupid, okay? Okay, you're not going to catch anything. But as soon as you put some bait on that hook, it's like, oh, yeah. Then the fish looks at it and like, oh, I want to eat that. And then you got him, right? You reel him in. Yes. Big trout. And to me, there is no other fish in Cold Lake except trout. So there's only one kind of fish, trout, because they're the best to catch. All right. So here's the thing. This is the same thing with sin. This is how Satan uses sin. This is how he did it in the garden to Eve. He dangled some bait on the hook. And so when he used one of God's gifts as the bait, but he perverted it. And so Eve in the garden, this is the sin right from the start. This is the sin that all of us are still guilty of. Satan goes like, are you sure that's what God said? Puts doubt in her mind. And then he comes back, he builds on the lie. He's like, because of course that's what God said, right? He builds on the lie. He's like, it won't hurt you. Just do it. God just doesn't want you to be like him. He doesn't want you to actually understand good and evil. So he just builds on the lie. And she's already bought in. She's already taken the bait with like, yeah. And so we still doubt the same things. We still doubt God's truth. Just like Eve did in the garden. It's still our main problem. We doubt what God says. And Satan just builds on it. And so he uses, for instance, because we're talking about relationships and we're talking about sex and all that kind of stuff. He uses sex as bait, okay? He's got the hook there. He wants to reel you in. And so he uses this as bait. So he uses something that God created good, and he uses it in a way that actually draws you away from God and destroys you because it hurts God. Again, he couldn't care less about you. It hurts God because you're one of God's children. And I have 3 children, and that would just horrify me to think that that was happening to them in any way, shape, or form. So the same thing happens today. Satan's still using the same old trick. He baits the hook, usually with something that's good and a gift from God, but he perverts it. And so what he wants you to do is use that gift, try to use that gift in a way that's dishonoring to God, and that you doubt God's truth. All right, let's get into our scripture. So it's in John chapter 8, page 644, starting in verse 42. Jesus told them, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees in this passage, the religious people. If God were your father, you would love me, because I have come to you from God. I am not here on my own, but he sent me. Why can't you understand what I'm saying? It's because you can't even hear me. Here's the deal. When we start doubting, like it's not bad to have doubts, just to clarify that. What destroys us is when we pursue the doubt, okay? Instead of pursuing the truth. So we pursue the truth, and then it helps us with our doubts. But when the doubt grows and grows, and we feed it, and we read about stuff that feeds it, and we just keep going, we start asking questions, but we really don't want the answer, that's when doubt starts to destroy us. Because we all have doubts, right? So it's not evil to have a doubt. So where are we here? For you, it's because you can't even hear me. And so when we pursue that doubt, and when we start not wanting to hear the truth, because we want to believe the lie. And you would probably say, well, I don't do that. Like, who wants to believe a lie? But here's the thing. The bait is being dangled in front of us. We want the bait. We want to take it. It looks good. Because if bait didn't look good, we wouldn't take it. Right? It's just an empty hook without bait. For you are children of the Father, of your father the devil. Okay, this is Jesus talking. That's some pretty nasty words. Pretty harsh criticism of these guys. And you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated truth. Because there is no truth in him. No truth in him. There isn't a little truth. There's no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So when I tell you the truth, you just naturally don't believe me. Which of you can truthfully accuse me of sin? And since I am telling you the truth, why don't you believe me? Anyone who belongs to God listens gladly to the words of God. But you don't listen because you don't belong to God. This is one of those scary things, because I've always really struggled and wrestled through some of the things that God says in the Bible, my whole life. Honest and upfront, I struggle still with lots of the things that God says in the Word of God, in His Word. But here, you know what I think is really important? That when we struggle with some of this stuff, that we don't just go like, and just give in to our doubts, but you wrestle with it. Okay? Let's say our doubts is a UFC fighter, okay? And our doubts get us in a position where we feel like we're helpless, okay? But we're not quite. We know that if we just summon the strength, we can get out of this dump. Doubt. If we give up, our doubt holds us hostage. But if we wrestle through it, we end up winning. Okay? It's the same thing with God's word. Some of it is hard to understand. Some of it doesn't seem like it fits in our generation. Some of it seems really old. But it's really important for us to wrestle with the scripture. Wrestle it. Because in the end, the truth will help you to see. And you'll win the fight over doubt. If you give up, if you're just kind of like, I can't believe in a God who does this or acts like this. I guess I just give up. Don't do that. Wrestle through it. Figure it out. Wrestle. You got youth leaders who love you. You got a youth pastor who loves you. That's why I'm here. I don't have to have this job. I could go in the oil field and make way more money. Right? If that was more important to me. Wrestle it. Ask people that you trust when you have questions. Ask them. Because the people you trust and the people who are walking with God and you trust, they'll give you good answers. And if they don't, at least they'll try to find them for you. And if they don't have them, they'll try to find somebody who maybe does. So don't give in. Don't let your hostage put you in a submission hold that you can't get out of and you just quit. Okay? Wrestle out of it. What? 48. Oh, we're done with that passage. We're going to skip to another one. Sorry. Yeah, we can keep going if you want. No. Yeah, they called him a Samaritan devil, but anyway, which was supposed to be a bad insult to him. But the enemy's game is deceiving you. He wants those doubts to grow and conquer you. But God wants those doubts. He wants you to wrestle through those doubts because it'll make you stronger. Okay, turn into your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. This is the problem. Romans chapter 1, page 675. We're going to start at verse 18. It says, God's anger at sin. Chapter 1, page 675. But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. See, they know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God has made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. One of the things that evolution has done is put lots of doubt into how we got started. It's put lots of doubt. Well, maybe we don't need a God then. Maybe we could just start from nothing. Like, maybe this process, and you got all these really smart dudes with lots of letters behind their names who like believe it full deal. This must have happened. We've uncovered something amazing. Yeah. That's pretty doubtful, eh? So one of the things that they want you to take away from is that, oh, there is an excuse. There is an excuse. So, you know, people, we're confused because now we have this evidence about this. And so we try to play science against religion, and we use all these little, you know, and it's just meant to confuse you. It's simple. It's one belief system attacking another belief system. Okay? Both have evidence. Both have, you know what, the debates have been going on for a couple hundred years now. It's not going to end. Right? People are going to believe this because they need to believe this. They want to live this kind of life. And so in order to live this kind of life guilt-free, there can't be a God. You cannot come before a God and receive judgment. Because then you're responsible for your actions. And then there's an accounting, like Jesus says. And the other side, you know, we have to admit the same thing. We need to believe this because we believe Jesus is the truth. We believe that he has come into the world to show us the light, to open our eyes, to show us truth, to expose the lies. And so that's why it's so important, our first kind of 3 weeks we talked about becoming a three-dimensional disciple. Because we don't want to be deceived. Because listen to what he says. These are people who know God. They've suppressed the truth because they know him. They can see his creation. It's like God's footprint out there. When you see a footprint, you're like, oh, somebody's been there. Okay, that's what this passage is saying about the world. It's like, oh, somebody's been here. God's been here. Look at this. This is awesome. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God is like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. This is one of the passages that scared me straight. When I was running away from God, this is one passage that was in my mind for the whole time, knowing that, okay, I don't want to be deceived. Because this is scary, what happens to people who are deceived. We become fools. We think we're wise. We think we can understand everything, but we're confused. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. Idols don't have to just be images and statues. Okay? Idols are gods, and we've already talked about it. Sex is one of the gods of our culture. It's an idol. People worship it. That's why they go to porn sites. That's why they go to strip clubs. Those are temples of worship. I won't get into that because that's next week or 2 weeks. Okay, let's keep going. This is the most scary verse of all. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things that God created. God created sex. God created everything. And anything that we choose to put before God in all of creation becomes an idol for us. And when we put that in front of God, it hurts us. It destroys us. It confuses us and it blinds us. They traded the truth about God for a lie, so they worshipped and served things God created rather than the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen, which means yes. That is why God abandoned them to the shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulged in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relationships with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men. And as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserved. Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do the things that should never be done. You ever wonder why sometimes our society seems so perverted? And we're just like, you know, we talked about it earlier. It's just like we're bombarded by sexual stuff on TV and movies. You ever wondered that? It's because God has abandoned those who have rejected the truth and who have suppressed the truth and have embraced wickedness. That's horrifying. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, greed, wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invent new ways of sinning and they disobey their parents. They refuse to understand, break their promises, are heartless, and have no mercy. They know God's justice. This is what I talked about. There's going to be judgment. There's going to be an accounting. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die, yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them too. See, this is the problem. When we embrace sin, when we start taking the bait and continue to take the bait, and we start rejecting the truth and suppressing it and walking away from it, we get deceived. We buy into the lie. So for the next 5 more weeks, we're going to be talking about relationships. Let's open our eyes. Let's ask God to open our eyes so that we can see the truth. We don't want to be deceived, because this what we just read here sounds just horrifying. I do not want to be that. That's like the worst thing I can imagine happening in my life, because especially now I have kids, so it's not just me. If I walk this path, my kids are going to follow. That's brutal. I can't even imagine standing before God and having to say, yeah, I did all that stuff. And then God's like, look at your children. They're following you. That would be just horrifying. I don't want that to happen to me. Now, I'm not doing this talk to scare you. I'm not reading those passages to kind of scare you so that you actually do what we're trying to teach. A reminder from last week. I don't get anything out of this. Like, I have no, it doesn't benefit me to pursue this idea that of relationships that honor God. If you guys follow what God wants us to do, that's awesome. I don't get a pay raise, I don't get a bonus, okay? I'm not trying to get anything from you. Advertising, movies, music, they want to get something from you. Usually it's your money. They offering you a product so they can get something from you. I don't get anything from this. So I want you guys to, with this whole idea of relationships that honor God, you need to have this in mind. This isn't benefiting me at all, okay? I don't want anything from you. Nothing. What I really want for you is because I love teenagers, that's why I've been a youth pastor for 10 years. Hardly anybody is a youth pastor for 10 years, especially in one place. But seriously, God has put a love for teenagers in Cold Lake in my heart that has kept me here for year after year after year because of this kind of stuff. I don't want you to be deceived. I don't want you to walk the path that these guys walked in the book of Romans that we just talked about. It's horrible. I want what God wants for you, because I know that it'll give you life. It'll give you real freedom, not the freedom that the world's offering. It's actually bait and bondage. You know, they think all this freedom that they have is real freedom. But what they don't know is that the freedom that they've chomped onto is attached to a hook and they're being reeled in. That's what we're trying to expose. In the end, and you're actually going to talk about this in your small group, sin leads to death, destroys us. And so I want to pray for you now before you go to your small groups. And I want you to know I love you guys. And I really want to see you guys embrace what God has, because it will benefit you it'll free you. It'll give you life, life that you could never have imagined could really exist. And God wants to infuse that into your life. So I want to pray for you. Let's pray before we go to small groups. Heavenly Father, thank you for these incredible gifts, like pleasure and all these things that you've given us. It's just, it's really cool that we're able to enjoy things in life, that there's things that we just love to do. Lord, that is a gift from you, and it is awesome. I'm so thankful for that. Lord, thank you for the gift of sex. Thank you for the gift of relationship that we can have with each other and with the opposite sex. Lord, it's just, you've just set this life up amazing. You've given us so many good gifts that are just refreshing and life-giving. But Lord, we know that there's an enemy who wants to destroy us because he hates you. And so, Lord, please open our eyes. Please help us to see the truth. Not just because I'm up here mouthing it off. Lord, open our eyes to real truth, your truth, and what you desire for us. Help us to embrace it and to push away the lies of the enemy that our culture has bought into. Help us to see the truth and to see the lies for what they are. Help us to see the bait and the hook. Don't let us fall into these temptations without warning us, Lord. So, Father, for these teenagers, I just pray a special blessing for them, that you would open their hearts and their eyes, that they might see you and receive what you have to say to them in these next 5 weeks. We just pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.